Let's turn in our Bibles today to the book of Psalms, chapter 34. Psalms, chapter 34. As we talk about magnify the Lord, we can magnify a lot of things in life. We can make things big that shouldn't be big. But if we can just learn to magnify the Lord above all things, that will help us praise the Lord. And this is a psalm of David here, and the greatest king of Israel, except Jesus. And so, is there a difficult time here when he wrote this psalm, song as it was? I won't sing it, but it was a psalm, song. And Psalms 34 and 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no lack or want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Father, I praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your life. Pray that your Holy Spirit, God, would anoint me today, God, to proclaim the truth of your word, O Father. And I pray that your Holy Spirit, God, would just minister to the hearts and lives of every person as only you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Magnify the Lord. Everything today we want big. We want large print on computer screens, on Bibles. I've got a super giant print Bible in my office. But we want things to be magnified so we can even understand what's being said. This psalm was written by David when he was forced to live in the land of the Philistines for a year and a half, or a year and 4 months, I believe. And he'd live a life of fleeing from King Saul. And King Saul wanted to kill David because David would become the next king, and he wanted his son Jonathan to be king. But David and Jonathan were very good friends, and so Jonathan knew that David was going to be the next king. But here, David pretended, or Saul worked many times to flee from Saul. And matter of fact, David had the opportunity to kill Saul a couple of times, and he refrained. He said, I can't stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. So he didn't. And so during this time, he went to live with the Philistines, the great enemies of God and of the children of Israel. Because it was the only place where he could go where Saul wouldn't be chasing him and trying to kill him. So Saul had chased him for many years, sought to kill him. His life was at stake any moment. As a matter of fact, David pointed out one time, Psalms, or 1 Samuel 23, says, truly as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. David was in a hard and a difficult situation. And to leave the land of Israel and go to the land of the Philistines, he was actually entering the enemy's camp, but yet he was in more danger among his own people because of a wicked king that ruled Israel. And so they went before one of the kings of the Philistines, and David pretended madness before the kings because, you know, they had sang out and said, you know, Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s. And here David was before a king that knew all that. And so David acted like he had gone mad. Some people are that way without putting on an act. He feared for his life, for before he had been a great military leader and had defeated the Philistines many times, now he had to live among them. If you can get the picture there. He had to learn to serve God among people who did not fear God, who worshiped other gods, who didn't have no value whatsoever, the God of Israel. He had to live for God during a time like this. And likewise, you and I must learn to live among people that don't have the same values, the same goals that we have. There's many people out there that are not heavenly minded. They hope something good happens when they die. But there's many people that do not know anything about God or Jesus and do not serve the Lord. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm just saying there's always those among us, among them that don't live for God, don't serve God. And so we need to learn to look above things that are happening around our world and put our eyes upon the Lord and just magnify the Lord instead. Praise God. Here David made the choice to continue to serve God, the God of Israel, among the people who were idol worshipers. And the Philistines were wicked. And they were without God. They had no knowledge of God. And when there is no fear of God present, people become more than just bad, more than just sinners. People can become wicked if there's no fear of God there. We can see it in our world today. We're in countries where there's no fear of God and no evangelism and no work of God there. They're cruel to their people. They're torturing and killing their people for no reason at all, except they're just full of the devil. Okay? But in the midst of this, David says, you know, I know, Lord, everything's bad around us. These Philistines are not good people, and they are out of worshipers, and they don't serve you, Lord, and they don't praise your name, and they don't sing to you. But Lord, here's what I'm going to say to you. And he says, Lord, I'm going to bless you at all times, and your praise is going to continually be in my mouth. He's saying, Lord, I may not have a great worship team, may not have musicians that I'm used to, but I'm going to praise your name regardless of what happens. I'm going to love and serve you regardless of what everybody else does. I don't care how many wicked people may live around me, but I'm going to praise you, Lord. Okay? And you and I can do the same. Praise the Lord. We can bless the Lord at all times. We want his praise to continually be in our mouth, like David said. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. He couldn't boast about anything in the land of the Philistines, but he said, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Okay? So his praise continually keeps our mind on God instead of other problems and arguments. And so we, along with David, can sing this psalm. I'm not going to sing it for you because you'd need a sermon on encouragement after that. So. But it was a great psalm, and the feelings of David here are very strong. And he was a songwriter, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And he said, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now, he just gone before a heathen king here that hadn't had any fear of God. He didn't trust God. He had never sang, I'll fly away. They had never sang, you know, there's power in the blood. They didn't know anything about God. The Philistines didn't. The one true God. They had made up their own gods. But here David knew everything, and so he had come there and he said, I'm a worshiper of God. I'll fear the Lord, and I'm going to bless the Lord. If I'm the only one that praises and sings about God and worships God, I'm going to do it myself. So he did. And so you and I may have to do, maybe take the same thing. You may not work around people that have any fear of God in them and talk about, you know, sinful things they've done over the weekend, and then on Monday, and they're, you know, too stooped to come to work on Monday because they drank too much of something they shouldn't drink. But here, we could, along with David, say, Lord, I'm going to worship you anyway. My praise is going to be continually in my mouth, your praise. Amen, because you realize what God has done for you by delivering you from a life of sin and giving you encouragement instead, and God can keep his hand upon you. We live in a world that's not good. Amen. We live in a country that was once a very God-fearing country, but it's changed much in our day. And there are enemies out there. There are people out there that have no value of God or church or what we're doing right now forever. But yet, we can be the Christian, say, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times, his praise is going to continue to be in my mouth. You know, just because somebody else doesn't live for God, that didn't take away for what God has done for you. Amen. God has helped you. God has walked with you. God has talked with you. God has never left you. God has never left you out. God has never forgotten about you. And God has never ceased to be with you. Jesus said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Praise the Lord. So continually praise the Lord. And continually magnify the Lord. God becomes bigger than your trial, your circumstance. God becomes bigger than anything you face when you begin to magnify the Lord. Here David could not undo present circumstance. He could not deny the threats that faced him. But he could magnify the Lord. He could not change the people around him. But he chose to magnify the Lord instead of whine and complain about how bad it was with everybody else. He could magnify death because he knew he wouldn't be alone in death. He could magnify rejection by his own king and his own country. He could magnify hopelessness if he wanted to. He could magnify loneliness. Lord, I'm all out here all alone. And I'm among this Philistine people, and I don't have, you know, much hope out here. But no, he chose to magnify the Lord above loneliness. He could have been eat up with fear, and I'm sure he feared because the Philistines had the most powerful armies of the day. But he didn't allow fear to eat him up. And fear is something that happens to everybody, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And all of this, David chose to magnify the Lord instead of magnifying rejection, hopelessness, loneliness, and fear. He chose to magnify the Lord. Amen. I remember years ago, pardon me for so many personal illustrations, but that's my life. I remember that a number of years ago, my dad was facing a crop failure. And that's the way he made a living for he and his family, is raising crops and selling crops at the end of the season. And so, that year the rains did not come good. As a matter of fact, it rained too much to the place where he could not get his tractor in the field and up and dig the peanuts, the full-grazed peanuts, and to shake them off and turn them over where they could be harvested and put in a large trailer. And so he was facing crop failure that year, and he knew it, but yet he on one tractor and I on the other. And that's the way it was most of the summer. And I could hear him above the roar of the tractor singing gospel hymns. When he knew it was going to be a crop failure, and he knew he wouldn't have enough money to do this and do that, he knew he wouldn't have enough money to pay the bank back. But he began to magnify the Lord, and God helped him, and God strengthened him, and God worked out a deal where he could pay off his debt in a sensible manner. Matter of fact, he came to me one day and he said, Ken, I can't give you $10 a week anymore. You say, that's not much. It's not much today. He said, I can only give you $5 a week to buy your meal at school. That's a dollar a day. I said, okay, Dad, it's okay. He said, you'll just have to go to work somewhere. God forbid that anybody should have to go to work. And maybe I ought to publish this sermon and send it to D.C. No. But I said, okay, Dad. I said, I'll find something to do and make a little money. And I did. And God helped me. And I never thought I was underprivileged because I had to work. I was glad I got to work. Amen. To make a little bit of money and be able to buy lunch. I mean, I had it figured down to the penny where this is at the Dairy Queen. We were that modern. We had Dairy Queen. And I had it figured down to the penny where that I could have a Coke and a hamburger that would come out to a dollar. You wouldn't do that today. But then, prove me wrong. If you want to go to the Dairy Queen and say, I want a full meal for a dollar, I'll say, sorry. But you see, but my dad could sing when things were going wrong. He could magnify the Lord. And God worked a way out where he could be able to pay off his debt. It took several years for him to do that. and but yet God made a way. And so instead of whining about how bad he had it, he began to magnify the Lord, and God came through for him. Amen. If we look at another place in the Bible, I'll bring out another character, and that is Daniel. Love the book of Daniel. And it came in the law of the Medes and the Persians that could not, Persians that could not be altered in any way. And there had been a decree made that if you worship any other god except the king, then you'd be thrown into a den of lions. But Daniel had a habit of magnifying the Lord. He had a habit of praying to God every day. Three times a day, he would open his window toward Jerusalem, and he would pray to the God of Israel. And the people could not find anything else wrong with Daniel except his prayer life. And so after this decree was signed that anybody praised any other god except the king of Babylon, that he would be thrown, or Medes and Persians, he would be thrown into a line of dens. And be thrown into the lion dens was not going to be a pleasant place. As a matter of fact, in that day, it was a means of execution for the wicked and the ungodly. And they would starve the lions for several days or a week or two until they were ready to eat anything. And so Daniel knew he could not survive this without an act of God. But, you know, on the day that that decree was signed, Daniel opened his window toward Jerusalem, and three times that day, as usual, his habit of prayer, he began to worship God, praise God, live for God. He was turned into the king, and they would throw him in the lion's den, and they threw him in the lion's den. But, you know, God has a way of taming anything and everything. And he tamed the lion somewhere or another. They didn't eat him. He stayed there all night, and the king came early in the morning wondering, hopefully, he said, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you? And he says, King, God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths, and I'm safe. I'm okay. So you see, he learned to magnify the Lord in the worst of circumstances, and so can you. Magnify the Lord. Amen. So David says here, oh, magnify the Lord with thee. Let us exalt his name together. Yeah, I'm living in a wicked land, a wicked king that didn't want to hear that. He's used to hearing me sing about killing his people. But he said, instead, I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to exalt his name. Praise the Lord. And so, when Daniel was threatened, he prayed. He would be fed to the lions, but he's opened his windows toward Jerusalem three times a day. Regardless of the threats, he chose to magnify the Lord. My friend, why can't we do that? Instead of just worrying about how bad we got it, how hard we've had it, how unfair and overworked and underpaid we are, can't we just magnify the Lord and say, God, you got this. You're going to take care of me. You're going to be there. Because I can tell you by experience, and you can tell me too, that through the hardest circumstances in life, God has never been absent. He's always there. There may be hurt. There may be grief. There may be sorrow over things that happen. And life may not have dealt you a good hand in sometimes some areas of your life. But I can tell you, God has never forsaken you. He's never left you. He said, I will go with you. I will be with you even to the end of the age. He's not going to quit, friend. He's yours. He's on your side. Praise the Lord. You know, Paul put it good in Romans 8. He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He'll tell you. He'll help you. Praise God. And so, we need to learn to magnify the Lord. When people disappoint you, when family members upset you, then pray. Magnify the Lord. When somebody you trusted turns against you and says things they shouldn't say against you, and your first reaction says, well, I'm going to set him straight if I ever get the chance. No. Just magnify the Lord. Just praise the Lord. You can learn to take a punch. If you live very long, you have. And so God helps us. Let me tell you something, parents, grandparents. If you got a son or a daughter that you can't handle, take a hold of your son, your daughter, and pray. Magnify the Lord above all circumstances. Amen. I'm going to do something here if I'm able to. Austin, would you come here a minute? I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't have to say nothing. Come here. Let me just give you an example here. I don't know about Austin. He's my prayer buddy, and I pray for him. But let's just pretend we're praying for a son, a father praying for a son or daughter, whatever it may be. Let's just say, Father, I don't know what goes on in Austin's mind. I don't know what he faces at school. He may be faced with people making fun of him here and there, as all people do sometimes. He may suffer some bad words that people said against him. He may have done things himself that he shouldn't have done. But Lord, we're going to magnify you instead. And I'm going to take my son and I'm going to pray for him. Lord, I believe you're in charge of his life. And I pray that he'd love you and live for you. And you'd walk him through the difficult times that he had learned to magnify the Lord. Father, so I pray for my son that your work and will would be done in his life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you, buddy. Take a hold of your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, and pray. Magnify the Lord above all circumstances. Let God become bigger than your last bill. Let God become bigger than your last encounter that was unpleasant. Let God become bigger and greater than whatever trial you may go through. Well, I'm sure it wasn't easy for Daniel to face the lions. I mean, there they were ready to just take out whatever came down to them, and they were going to the lions. I'm sure they were really licking their chops, ready to take Daniel out the moment he hit the den, the bottom of the den, but yet God provided for him. And here was David in a land of idolatry, and he would die there. No, except he began to magnify the Lord. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let's exalt his name together. And he had some soldier buddies with him. I'm sure that they thought, David, what are you thinking about? We're in the land of the Philistines. These people are enemies. And here you are saying, pray. Here you are saying, magnify. He said, these enemies are bigger. They got more powerful weapons than we have. We are outnumbered in many ways. How can you magnify the Lord? Why don't we magnify the Philistine army? David says, no, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. So God provided him a place. As a matter of fact, he became pretty good friends with one of the leaders of the Philistines. And he said, I need a place to stay. David said, okay. And so he gave him a town called Ziklag. He said, I got plans for you, David. You go to live here at Route 1, Ziklag. And so he and his men went there to live. Things weren't always. For about a year and 4 months, he stayed in the land of Philistines because he was running from King Saul. And he knew that King Saul would cease to hunt him in the land of the Philistines. Here, if David would die in the land of idolatry, he would die magnifying the Lord. He didn't die there, but he never quit magnifying the Lord. He was continually saying, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise is going to continually be in my mouth. I'm not going to quit praising God. I'm not going to quit worshiping God. I'm not going to quit going to church, even though he didn't have a church to go to. I want to tell you, friend, we can do the same thing. We can say, well, if God's going to do this to me, if I go through this bad thing, and people have a habit of blaming God for bad things that happen. Don't blame God. It won't do any good. God allowed you to go through that so he can show yourself powerful in your behalf. And I don't want to go through the things that I've been through again. I don't want to have a repeat thing, some of the things that I've been through. But I want to tell you something. I'm not going to question God. If God saw I needed to go through that, then God knew what he was doing when he brought me through that. Let's just trust God. Let's just magnify the Lord with me. If you can't handle it, God that you serve can handle it. There's not anything too big for God. He is more powerful and more mighty than anything you will ever face in this world or in this life. You just learn to magnify the Lord and exalt his name. Praise the Lord. The Apostle Paul, his life was threatened more times than one. He was stoned and left for dead once. Then they got around and started praying for him. He got up and shook the dust off and went and started preaching again. And he said to his son Timothy, Timothy, he said, "For this reason I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul is saying, whatever happens to me, my life is in the hands of God. God's got me. God's going to take care of me. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith, and God has got a place for me in his eternity. Man. He said in another place, you know, Paul was full of it. Now, he wasn't a good guy at first. He was a persecutor of the church, and he didn't deserve to be saved. He said himself, "I was the worst of sinners. I was the chief sinner." Man, he was a... But he told the church at Rome, he said, "I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing is able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord." My friend, you want security, you walk with God, you serve him, you magnify him. Friend, he's got you, he's kept you, he's going to be with you even to the end. Nothing between life and death is going to separate you. Yes, you still have a free will, but my friend, if your will is to serve God and keep on living for him, you're secure as you live for him. He's the Lord. And because we trust God and because we magnify the Lord, we can handle anything. And I know I'll be tested in that, and you will be too. But we tend to magnify problems, magnify fears, magnify financial difficulties. We tend to magnify family problems. Let me ask you something. Is God in your family? Is he Lord of your family? Do you ever pray with your family? Do you ever pray with your son, with your daughter? Or you just criticize how bad they're behaving? My friend, let's get a hold of this thing. Live for God at home, not just at church. Amen. The temporary things, we magnify them. But if we choose to magnify the Lord, then victory will come. Peace will replace worry. Faith will replace fear. Victory will replace defeat. Amen. You may not always, so to speak, be on cloud nine all your life, because things happen. Good things, bad things happen to good people sometimes. But I know we can trust God to walk us through it. He can. Paul didn't have it easy. Daniel didn't have it easy. David didn't have it easy. But he had a God that was true and faithful, and God is faithful. Amen. So continue to seek the Lord. Deliverance from fear comes when we seek the Lord. He heard our prayers. He heard me. It says in the scripture there in 34 and 6, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. He cried out to God. It didn't hurt to cry. After a while, you got to get over it and go on. But wipe the tears back. God's in charge. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. But God didn't turn his deaf ear to him, but he heard him. Delivered him from all of his fears. And the Bible says, verse 5 there, he says, they looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. Praise the Lord. They weren't ashamed to cry out to their God. David wasn't here. And God heard his cry. I'm going to refer you to another psalm. Love the Psalms. In Psalm 61 and 1, it says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer." You can do this too. Greatest king of Israel, he can cry out to God. And you say, "Well, I'm grown up a little bit now." Well, David hadn't, because he still cried out to God when he was king. "Attend to my prayer," he said, "from the ends of the earth I will cry when my heart is overwhelmed." Have you been there? Sometime. "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." My friend, that's good. That's just not just for David. That's for you and I as well. Praise God. God heard his cry. God's protection was there. Amen. Back in Psalm 34, verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them." Amen. In David's land of the Philistines, says the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. I know, God, you're here. You sent your angels. Amen. We're not to worship angels, but I want to tell you, there's millions, thousands of angels, and God lets them do his work. And it says in the book of Hebrews, talks about angels, and he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? Hebrews 1:11. And so God has his protecting hand upon us. We're not to worship angels. You're not to try to figure out which angel's trying to help you. As some people have taught, worship of angels is wrong. But they would encourage you to worship God only. Angels of God would. Okay? And I'm thankful today that God protects you, but God protects not only us, but God protects his persecuted church today. And the persecution of the church bothers me, should bother us. And God has challenged us in Scripture to pray for those that are being tested and their faith is being tried. And so God no doubt does that, but all through this land, God protects his church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If Jesus is building his church and all the enemies of God try to tear it down, I want to tell you, if God is building his church, and church is not a building, church is people, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it, God's going to keep you, God's got you, you need to let God take over, you need to worship the Lord, you need to magnify the Lord because he's got you in his hand. Praise the Lord. He keeps you safe, he doesn't abandon you, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. God is faithful. Scripture that comes to mind always, 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. You're not the only one that's ever been through this. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God always makes a way. If God can make a way through the Red Sea for a whole nation to go through on dry ground, if God can make a way for Daniel not to be eaten by lions, if God can make a way for 3 Hebrew children not to burn up in a fiery furnace, amen, and God can make a way, has made a way for you. Throughout my life, God's always made a way. My friend, let's learn to magnify the Lord. Just remember, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried to the Lord and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who trusts in him. Praise the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Amen.